Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I do believe in the progress that UPL made this year was real. You know, with his games he played here in Buffalo, he gave our team confidence. He was strong. His presence was good. I really liked his compete and battle in Rochester in the games I was at. You know, if something happened and didn't go well, it didn't spiral him down. You know, he fought through it, which is part of being maturing as a young goalie. He's had trouble staying healthy a little bit over the 2-3 years, so that's the one thing. How do we make sure he gets the games that he needs to keep developing? That's the one thing we talk about internally a lot, but we're really excited about UPL. We think he's going to be a really good goalie for us.
That is Sabres GM Kevin Adams. Some of his one-on-one conversation with our very own Paul Hamilton. If you'd like to listen to that, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. And our on-demand audio brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Happy Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll have some NHL draft talk coming up at about 8:35. Ryan Kennedy will join us, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, because, folks, the NHL draft is 1 week from tonight. Very exciting. Night one, anyway. It's 1 week from tonight in Montreal. Paul Hamilton will be covering the draft for us. And you wanted some hockey stuff to get to here.
Yeah. All right. So goalie chatter. Let's talk goalie for a minute. We'll go back in time, and then we'll bring it up to the present. So I'm watching the unrivaled, the Avalanche Red Wings retrospective, looking back at the rivalry, the Lemieux hit. And as they're telling a lot of the story, I knew some of the stuff about Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
I knew he gave up a bunch of goals. They didn't pull him. He said it's the last deliver play here. He got traded. I didn't know he was already thinking about being traded.
Right.
I
didn't know that either. He was unhappy with whatever was going on in Montreal.
Yeah. I didn't know, and it struck a memory chord, or however you want to say it, for me, that, you know, he's talking about it, and he's such a good interview with this. He's wearing his Quebec Remparts, like, mm-hmm. quarter zip. Must be the coach there now.
I assume,
right?
He is, right?
He was.
Or part owner, maybe?
It was long ago. Maybe that's
what
it was.
He's in ownership?
Yeah. Anyway, so they're interviewing Patrick Waugh, and he's talking about that game, talking about struggling, talking about how he had felt like he was maybe blamed a little too much in Montreal.
Fans were getting on his case, I guess, a little bit, right?
He's won multiple cups. He's a legend of the game, a titan of the game. Anyway, and then there's a moment that brought me back in time to Buffalo and to a game. I'm pretty sure I was at this game. I'm pretty sure. And we're going to have to try and, like, dig up the memories. Someone, as soon as we mention this, you'll remember it. He makes a save after giving up a million goals. Mm-hmm. And they give the Bronx cheer.
This is the Detroit game.
Or
was it a game here against the Sabres you're talking about?
I'm talking about Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, yeah.
In Montreal, they gave a Bronx cheer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he waved to the fans.
Right.
Remember when Ryan Miller did that?
I do not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go over well in Montreal. Like, and Roy's saying, I shouldn't have done that. I was really frustrated.
He said, I shouldn't have done that.
The fans didn't deserve that.
That's right. It's 20 years, 30, 40 years later, he can say the fans didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Ryan Miller did that. In a game at the arena, he'd given up a couple of goals. He makes a save. He waves at the fans, and then I think within 30 seconds gave up another one. You know, Miller's number's about to be retired. It took me back to whatever. How many times did we argue about Ryan Miller? Not that much. It was not a, this guy's got to go. He was never run out of town. He won a Vezina here. He was part of a team that won multiple playoff series. He was the leader of a team. He was super popular. He's very involved in the community. Like, there's a million great things to say about Ryan Miller. But there was that moment where he waved at the fans after a Bronx cheer,
yeah,
as if to say, like, yeah, thanks for that. And I'm ashamed of myself for not remembering the opponent, the game. I just know it happened here, and I know Miller did it.
Okay, so I don't remember this, which, is, by the way, of course, is not surprising. And it would have happened since you and I were together. Because my question is, how did we react? Because I don't remember it. Now, I'm watching the thing. I don't remember the arms up. I remember the Montreal-Detroit game. I remember him giving up a ton of goals. I remember him getting pulled. I remember him giving the eye to the head coach, going over to the team president. It's over. I remember all that stuff. I do not remember him putting arms up in the air on a save for the Bronx cheer. I thought it was funny. And if you tell me Ryan Miller did that, I hope, I don't know how I reacted. I hope I was, yeah, whatever, that's fine. Like, that's funny. You're getting rid, you know, the fans are riding you. You make the save. You're like, hey, I made a save. Woo! Like, to me, I thought what Wad did was funny. I hope I would not have taken it as an insult to the fans at the time. If I did, I was wrong, because I thought what Wad did was hilarious.
It was April of 2013 against the Rangers. He was beaten for 4 goals on 14 shots and pulled after the fourth goal. It came at 1:13 of the second period. I'm reading a recap from NBC Sports. There's some tweets from John Vogel, who used to cover the Sabres, of course,
yep,
for the News and the Athletic. A mock cheer. He gave up. Yeah. 1:13 in the second period. Enroth came off the bench. The Rangers had built a 6-0 lead. And Vogel even tweeted, it reminds me of Patrick Waugh's last game in Montreal. Miller heads to the dressing room after allowing a fourth goal as fans cheer the departure.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So they were riding him pretty good, huh?
Yeah. And he was traded the next year, right? Because,
but not, I mean, not because, as a result of that.
No, but as a teardown. Uh-huh. They were eliminated.
Yeah, yeah.
In this game,
yeah,
they lost to the Rangers. I don't remember this. They lost that game, and they were eliminated from playoff contention. Now, that doesn't mean like they were actually really alive. It could be one of those things where, you know, they're 10 points back, and now it's not going to happen.
The mathematical elimination game.
Yeah, there was a game they lost in Philly that knocked them out maybe the year before or the year after, whatever it was, year before. But Miller waving to the crowd, I mean, that was...
So the crowd got on his case for doing that, basically, is what they're saying. When he was cheered leaving the ice, it was more of a Bronx cheer as opposed to, that's okay, Ryan, we still love you cheer.
He talked about it afterwards. So he told the Buffalo News, some people were giving me some grief. I picked my hand up like, okay, I hear you. It wasn't a screw you. Huh. It wasn't a, I hate you guys. It was, you know, I hear you. Enough. I get it. Just let me try and do what I've got to do.
Okay, see,
that's a little bit of what Wah is saying. Like, he waved to the fans, and he said, looking back, they didn't deserve that. Because when you do that as the goalie,
yeah,
it's almost, you know, I don't know how, as a fan, you're supposed to take it, but for Miller, it's kind of the point you make a lot about booing players. If a player or a team, sometimes a boo tells you you're playing bad, you disapprove. In the case of a goalie like Wah,
right,
like Miller, who is not some journeyman off the straight.
Yeah.
If Ryan Miller gives up 4 goals on 13 shots and you give him a Bronx cheer, him saying back to the fans, like, yeah, I know.
Right.
Guys, I'm mad too. Like, right, you knew Miller cared. He was established. So it's not the same as some guy that just comes off the street and is flipping, you know, he's not flipping the bird to the fans. This isn't my first rodeo. Sometimes it goes south, and I'm mad too. And Wah, reliving that game, how angry he was
to have been embarrassed like that. So that's why I think I feel like Wah was not, I know, I got it, I'm trying to work my way through it. Because of the backstory, okay, because of Wah saying in this interview, he was unhappy before that game. Like, I don't think he liked the coach. Right. He didn't like a lot of things. Fans were booing him in Montreal. Like, can you imagine? I know it's Montreal. I guess I should never be surprised by anything that happens with Montreal Canadiens fans, especially after all the stories we heard over the years from Craig Revey about how really nasty that fan base can get. But can you imagine booing Patrick Waugh after what he had done for that franchise. I get my years messed up. But one of his cups, I don't remember what season it was, they won the cup because of Patrick Waugh. They don't have one of their 20-something Stanley Cups. If it wasn't for Patrick Waugh standing on his head in a playoff year, making a run, probably both of them are because of Patrick Waugh. Can you imagine booing that guy? Because he won. Anyway, when he does the whole arms up gesture to me, I think he's in a very angry place. I don't think that's, I get it, I know, I'm having an off night, I hear you, I understand it. Maybe Miller was. I think Patrick Waugh was an angry human being at that point. He didn't like the coach. He was angry at the fans. If I'm him and they're booing me that season, I'm like, me? Like, are you kidding me? I'm one of the best players in the history of this franchise. I'm why you have two more cups.
Right.
So I think when he does the whole, he's probably, first off, he gives up 5 first period goals. You got to be thinking, why doesn't Trombley just take me out of here? You know, it shouldn't be up to me to go tell him, pull me, coach. I'm having a bad night. Get me out of here. That's the coach's job. Protect the goalie. Get you out of here. You know, he's getting Bronx cheered. Get him out. I think when he puts his arms up, that is totally screw you, fans. Because I just think he's in a really bad place at that time. And he's probably livid. Like, I cannot believe they're going to. I'm having an off night. What do you want? But with everything I've done for this franchise, you're going to Bronx cheer me? And he gave up goals after that, I think, by the way. But anyway, yeah, I think it's totally screw you fans that night. I don't know that Miller would have been doing that, but I think Waugh was, you know, bleep you to the fan base.
Well,
I still think it's a funny gesture, though.
Yeah. Looking back on Miller, so that happens in 2013. And there's more, I got more quotes from it. Adam Pardee played in that game, talked about how it was disrespectful for Miller.
Former Buffalo Sabre, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He played for the Sabres.
I thought he was...
No. I believe he played.
Oh, the Miller game. I'm sorry. I was confused with the Waugh game. Go ahead. You're fine.
In the Miller game, sorry.
Adam Pardee. Yeah.
And lower in the article, it says, earlier this month, Steve Ott ripped Sabres fans for booing the team.
Okay, I think I recall that one, actually, because we would have had the debate, like, I know Weber did it during the tank, but I think I recall the Steve Ott one, actually. Yeah. The discussion of whether you're allowed to boo your own team.
Right. Worth pointing out, all of this nastiness towards the Sabres and their results was before the thing they did that got other people mad. It's 2013. And then 2014, Miller gets traded. And have they been searching for goalies, pretty much a steady goalie ever since?
I mean, yeah. Olmark was the best guy of the lot?
He was.
Probably,
he was league average. And now, you know, here we sit talking Waugh's a legend. Miller is getting his number retired. And now the Sabres are on the hunt for the goaltender, if you want to say the next Miller, that's a lofty goal. Somebody to be the goalie for 5 years. I would think a goal would be consistency in net.
A clearly defined number one goalie for long term.
Sure.
That doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
No, it doesn't even mean Vezina. What it means is someone good enough that we're not constantly looking for a replacement.
Right.
And is that free agency? Is that rolling the dice that's Ukko Pekkalukkanen?
Yeah.
You might love the idea of Devin Levi or Eric Portillo, but those guys are not even signed. So, like, I can't entertain them as the long-term answer for this yet. Maybe Levi is in 2-3 years. This is where we get to the free agency conversation. Ville Husso is one who I see that 10 teams might call on him, including Edmonton, so he might be the big prize. Jack Campbell, Pierre LeBrun forecast $6 million a year for him?
It was Sportsnet. Somebody from Sportsnet was talking $6 million a year for Campbell. But LeBrun was saying it's Ville Husso, Jack Campbell, Darcy Kemper, Marc-Andre Fleury. Although if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, you're not signing here. You're going somewhere you think you have a chance to win a cup before you retire.
You would think.
I would assume it would go to a contender.
In order to do that, a contender has to reach out to him. He's 37.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. But I don't think your answer about the Sabres' long-term goalie, I don't think it's coming from free agency. The Sabres will probably sign someone. I don't know much of a choice. I don't think they would trade for one. I think they would sign a goalie here short term, 1 or 2 years. You know, Kevin Adams talked a little bit about that when he had his one-on-one with Paul, or Paul had his one-on-one with him. They wouldn't be going out signing a goalie to a 5-6 year contract, but they'd be looking for a guy for a couple of years to get him through either if UPL isn't up to the job, or at least get them through to Portillo or Devin Levi, whoever might be the goalie they envision down the road. They're not giving out a big, long goalie contract. That's not coming in free agency this year. I think that's a short-term guy.
Well, what's long?
more than 2 years.
Oh, well, they should consider it.
I'm sure they'll consider it. I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I think they would max out at 2 years, quite honestly, with a goalie on the free agent market.
Well, I'm not going to get too hung up on how long it should be, but how long it is likely directly related to how good the person is.
Yep. Could be, sure.
Or how reliably good the person is. Jack Campbell has been pretty good for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's going to market. I mean, if you told me it was going to take 4 years and 24 for Jack Campbell, it might be a little steep, might be a little long for everybody's taste. I would probably sign up for it because of one reason. They really don't have anything they don't have anything to lose.
Well, and the argument is there's nothing written in stone that says either UPL or Petillo or Levi will turn into your proven goaltender.
And even if they do.
So if you want to sign a guy, and then you can trade whoever else you got.
Even if they do, that's fine. It's not a prohibitive contract. If they're willing to spend the money, it's not a prohibitive contract at all. Oh, well, what happens if Lukanen takes his job? All right. There are plenty of teams that have a goalie that's expensive and a goalie that's cheap.
Yeah.
Like, how much are they going to spend on goalie total? Last year, their goalie salaries were what? Like $3 million total for all of them combined? So I've got room. I've got term. I've got time. I'm just going to keep saying that I think that the group of players, the young players, the coach, the fans deserve someone in goal that gives them a chance. I think the organization owes it to everybody to try to get someone in net that gives them a chance. And that's Owen Power, J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn. These are entry-level deals that are cheap, that are going to be really exciting. You got two candidates for the Calder maybe this year in Quinn and Power.
Right.
I want to see those guys playing on a team that has a chance to win. And a lot of people think the Sabres have a chance. Zach, what was the phrase Greg Wyshynski used yesterday? Reasonable chance? He had a two-word phrase he used about the Sabres' chances to make the playoffs.
And really? Reasonable chance?
He talked about it as a reasonable chance.
Well, then you got to upgrade in goal.
Yeah, exactly. It's not
Craig Anderson. I mean, Craig Anderson is, you know, most nights he might give you a chance to be in the game. That's not reasonable chance to make the playoffs.
And if you decide to roll with Lukanen and it works, well, then all the credit in the world. I just think you might deserve that. Everybody deserves more of a shot at it than just hoping it's Lukanen, who has had a lot of trouble staying healthy.
Yeah, well, that's another part of the equation. Can you project out this guy winning the job in camp and holding the job for 50, 60 games when he can't get through a full season?
Right. And the injury thing for the Sabres, you know, we've talked about the difference between the Sabres and the Bills. The Bills have been, knock on wood, very healthy for years, and the Sabres have not.
Right. Which is why the Sabres are talking to the Bills about how the heck do you keep your guys healthy all the time.
Right,
803-0550 to join us. More hockey talk coming up in a moment. A little NHL draft talk on the way. Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News joining us. The draft starts 1 week from tonight. That's next on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is DRAFT time. Well, close. 1 week away from the draft. Round one, anyway, will be next Thursday night in Montreal. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the draft. We'll go to the Wester hotline. We're joined by the new editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, Ryan Kennedy. We knew you when. Congratulations on the promotion, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Great to be here again.
Your final draft rankings are out, and I want to start at the top, because it seems these last... Well, the last week or so, there's more talk about, okay, maybe the top spot isn't locked in. Maybe there's more competition. What are you hearing, and what did you think, in your opinion, when it came to your final draft rankings of that top guy?
Well, for me, it's still Shane Wright, and I acknowledge it's a close field, and there are certainly some good options. I think with the Montreal Canadiens having that first selection, this is an organization that desperately needs a top six center. And for me, Shane Wright is the obvious choice. He's a perfect fit there. He's a two-way guy. He's very smart. You know, he skates well. He competes hard. And I think that, you know, that skill set makes him pretty much NHL ready already, even though he did miss a year of development time due to the OHL season being canceled 2 years ago due to the pandemic. Juraj Slafkovský, fantastic prospect, but he is a winger. And, Logan Cooley, another good center as well. But I think he needs a bit more time. So for me, yeah, plenty of great options. But this time of year is always the most anxious for everyone, because it's very hard to get the straight story from anyone in terms of NHL teams, because they all have their own agendas, obviously, in terms of what they want to reveal and what they don't want to reveal.
How deep, so you just brought up three names, how deep is the top tier in that beginning of round one, in your opinion?
Well, it's interesting, because I think it's expanded a little bit recently, and I say that because Cutter Gauthier, who played for the U.S. National Team Development Program, you know, for most of the year, we considered him to be a left winger, even though he did play some center when Logan Cooley went to Team USA's World Junior Camp. As we got to, you know, the end of the season, as we got to the draft combine, which obviously was in Buffalo, you know, Gauthier talking to teams, they saw him as a center, and he's going to Boston College next year. The Eagles see him as a center. So all of a sudden, you have a 6'2" player who can really shoot the puck, who can kill penalties, and now he's a center. So that's a lot more valuable than him being a winger. So when I look at the top tier now, I would include Gauthier. So I feel like you're looking at, you know, maybe that top tier is 6 or 7, depending on how you feel about Joachim Kamel, another very nice winger from Finland. It's very interesting, because you have those top two defensemen, Simone Nemec and David Juracek as well, that are very intriguing. So I think that top tier for me, is it 3? Is it 6? It's really hard to sort of grade it out at this point, because I think it's pretty close.
All right, no matter what, the Sabres are outside of that top tier by the time they have their first pick. It's at 9. They're at 16. They're at 28. Is this a good year for a team to have 3 first-round picks like the Sabres?
Well, it's always good to have 3 first-round picks, right? But what it does is it gives the Sabres a lot of flexibility, and I think that's the most important thing. with stockpiling assets like that. And, you know, having said that, I think there's some pretty interesting players along the way. And, you know, it comes down to how much risk are you willing to take. You know, that number 16 pick is very intriguing because, you know, obviously the Sabres already have some pretty fantastic young defensemen in Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin's not that old himself. Mm-hmm. But do you go for somebody like Leon Bischel, the big Swiss defenseman who is mobile and hits like a truck? Do you go with Owen Pickering, another defenseman who has a lot of size, is very raw, but is a great puck mover and transition guy? Do you go with somebody like Jimmy Snuggerud, also from the National Team Development Program? He's a winger with size and a ton of raw potential. The fact that you have such options really helps. And then, you know, you go to that late round pick. And again, you know, we talk a lot about guys in the 25 to 40 range where, you know, maybe they're a first round or maybe they fall just outside the first round, but it's all pretty much the same grouping. So again, you know, because you have such a high pick in the top 10, do you take a little more risk? Is it somebody like Julian Lutz, who played Germany this year, missed a lot of the season with injury, but scouts loved him when he played? Or do you go with, is Ivan Marashnichenko still on the board? You know, a player who played in Russia, so there is some risk there. He also had Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he is recovering from. So, you know, obviously a big wild card there, but you have a kid that can hit and can really shoot. So it's a very fun time, at least for me, because, you know, my job's not on the line if I make the wrong pick for the Sabres. But I would also think that it's a very exciting time for the Sabres scouting staff and for Kevin Adams, where there's so much possibility. And, of course, you can always trade up and down if you feel like you need to do that as well.
We're with Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News. I know Kevin Adams was asked about this. Our Sabres beat reporter did a one-on-one with him, and I'll bring this up with you as well. What happens with Russian prospects in this draft? And are there first-round guys, Russian prospects, that, you know, maybe don't come off the board? Or what do you think does happen?
Well, that's the million-dollar question this year. And, you know, talking to GMs at the Combine, there was this sense of, you know, when they're talking to their peers, they'll say, okay, well, you take a Russian first, and then we'll take one.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be, I think, there's going to be some gamesmanship and a bit of a game of chicken there because, you know, Marashnichenko, you know, before everything happened with the invasion and, you know, Russian hockey kind of becoming a pariah state internationally, you know, this is a kid that we were talking about as a top 10 pick at one point. Maybe, you know, last year we were talking about maybe being even top three. And, you know, his early results weren't as good. He kind of bounced between the different Russian pro leagues. But, you know, the talent is there. And then you have Danila Yurov, who, again, you know, we were originally looking at as maybe a top 10 pick. You know, a lot of people had him sort of in the 7-9 range. So there's definitely a lot of homework that needs to be done. There's a lot of risk aversion that needs to be looked into because, you know, these are players that played over in Russia and, you know, their contract status will have to be delved into very deeply to say, okay, well, when can this kid come over? And can we make sure that this kid will come over? You know, do we have to wait a number of years, and are we willing to do that? What happens if, you know, the situation in Ukraine gets even more dire? How does that reflect on Russia and the availability of players from there? So it's a huge X factor, and I think that's going to be one of the main storylines on day one of the draft is how many Russians who play over in Russia do we see go in the first round? Because you do have Pavel Minchikov, the defenseman who played in the Ontario Hockey League for Saginaw this year. I don't think he'll be affected. And I am hearing that Marashnichenko plans on going to the draft. So what does that mean in terms of how teams view him? Utterly fascinating.
Final thing, and it's not just related to the draft, but this is the first time GMs will be together in person for a draft in 3 years. Do you think that could lead to more trades, more activity, a little bit more entertaining things going on, changes being made because they're not on, you know, Zoom sitting at their home bases?
Oh, certainly. And, you know, for a while there, the draft was basically trade deadline number two on the calendar because you had everybody in the same place. They could just kind of wander over to each other's tables. And we did not have that in the Zoom era, if you will. So I think that, you know, especially with where the salary cap is right now and, you know, some of the big names that are out there that might be potential free agents and might be re-signing, teams have a lot of decisions to make. And I think that, you know, the draft is sort of perfectly placed on the schedule where teams can make a lot of moves. And again, when you have all of your peers there, it makes it so much easier. It's frictionless, really, to just pull a guy to the side and be like, okay, here's what we're looking for. What can we do? And then you have the picks right there. So when you're trading players for prospects, you can kind of get that instant validation of the pick where, you know, your fan base can say, okay, well, we lost so-and-so, but at least we got another first rounder or whatever happens to be.
All right, Ryan, how can folks get the draft preview from the Hockey News?
Well, you can go to thehockeynews.com or you can go to your favorite newsstands and pick it up now. Shane Wright is on the cover. I always love draft preview. It's not only fun to write, but I love reading it as well. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's one of our most fun issues for me.
Well, enjoy the draft. Again, congratulations on the promotion, and thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Much appreciated. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Ryan Kennedy, the new editor-in-chief at the Hockey News, joining us on the Wester Hotline. Again, draft 1 week from tonight, and the Montreal Canadiens have the number one pick in their building.
Gambling odds on, I saw Bob McKenzie put 1-2, Shane Wright 1-2. Canadian team.
Yeah.
Hosting.
Yeah.
Picking first.
Yeah.
Takes the Canadian kid.
Seems to make sense.
Right.
Although, what was the McKenzie story? Like, he did his rankings and then FanDuel's odds came out on the first pick and they were saying that maybe McKenzie's rankings had messed up the FanDuel odds supposedly changed noticeably after McKenzie published his final rankings or something like that. I saw that story this morning. I was kind of half awake. I apologize. So I'll see if I can find it.
All right.
Draft
is a week. You know, one quick thing. Zdeno Chara has not retired yet. He might come back for another season.
Where the hell was he last season?
Can you get it?
Caps, where the hell was he last season?
He was with Washington the year before last. Last year, he was back with the Islanders.
Okay.
Played 72 games. He is sixth all-time in games played. And number one among defensemen all-time in games played. If he were to play another season.
I was wondering about where Chelios was. I thought maybe
Chelios is ninth all-time. Chara is seventh all-time. I said sixth. He's seventh.
Yeah.
If he plays another season, he could get to the top three in games played. If he played like all 82 games, Chara. And he played 72 last year. Want to try and get the six players ahead of Zdeno Chara in all-time games played?
Dear Lord, no.
I think it's mostly
okay,
gettable.
Well, dude, Marlowe.
Number one.
I'm done. Zach, you got the other five. I got number one. I mean, come on. I got the big name. Joe Thornton?
Yes. Thornton is sixth. He is 34 games ahead of Chara.
You can do this by yourself. You're fine.
No, I can't. Any other active guys?
No. Next closest active after Thornton and Chara is outside the top 25.
Okay, guys that played forever.
Yeah.
And Gordie Howe wouldn't count because he was in... Gordie Howe?
Number two.
Because he was in the WHA, I kind of thought, you know, he wasn't in, like, the NHL the whole time, but he played when he was 50.
Listed at NHL's all-time games played second overall.
Oh, goodness gracious me. How far back are we going? Are we going 70s, 80s guys, more recent? What do you want? Give me an idea.
Well, the thing about these guys is they often play in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Jágr,
fourth all-time. This guy is 80s, 90s, into the aughts. Canadian team, American team, Canadian team. Mostly. Captain America.
Captain America?
Yeah. Kind of. Captain Canada. The all-time captain.
Messier.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Oh, captain, my captain.
Messier.
Third all-time.
Yeah, I should have known that without your clues. My bad. Is Matt Sundin maybe? No? You didn't play long enough?
All nope. Right. Marlowe, Howe, Messier you have. Thornton, Chara you have.
Two more?
I already forgot if you got one of them.
I probably didn't. Marlowe, Thornton, Messier, Howe, Jágr. We had five.
Okay, Jágr. Yep. Yeah. One more. Fifth all-time in games played with 1731. He is one of the players.
Oh, Ray Bourque.
No.
Ah, crap.
Bourque is 13th.
We're feeling good about that one. Sorry.
Remember, no defenseman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Yeah.
Charles, number one among defensemen.
Okay, what forwards would have played forever? Mike Gartner?
No.
Forwards.
It is very gettable.
Thanks. That doesn't make me feel like there's more pressure on me.
It's very gettable.
Dino Ciccarelli.
No, but I saw him in the Unrivaled. That's the guy who said, I can't believe I shook the guy's freaking hand.
I forgot to mention that. Lemieux gets thrown out of the game. He comes back. They win. They win the series. He comes back out, not only for the handshake line, but he's wearing the conference champion t-shirt because he's changed out of his uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
And he shook his hand.
And
there's no way I would have shook his hand.
And between handshakes, he's like fist pumping and waving to the crowd.
Woo! And he's yelling. I would have cold cocked the guy. There's no way I would have shaken his hand at that point. I'm sorry.
I'm going to give you the answer. I want to follow up on that point. The answer is Ron Francis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely gettable.
The other thing about it, about that Unrivaled and Lemieux and the unbelievable bad guy heel that he is, it is just the smugness of when he's relaying the story. How Scotty Bowman in the parking lot.
Oh, the bus story?
Called him out.
Yeah.
He's holding his son, Brendan.
Yeah.
And here's Claude Lemieux saying how it's really sad and inappropriate that, you know, outside of the game in the parking lot, he's going to talk about me like that in front of my son.
Yeah, Bowman was trashing him.
Yeah, Bowman trashes him while he's holding his child.
Yeah.
And Lemieux says there's no place for that in the game. The guy whose life is doing things that don't belong in the game.
Yeah. Is lecturing somebody
on decorum. Like, I just really can't believe Scotty would say something like that in front of my son. Your son watches you play. I mean, probably too young at that point.
Future Sabre draft pick,
right,
son.
Right. The pain elevator himself.
Uh-huh. But the funniest part of the story is, so it's in Colorado. The Red Wings are on the team bus, and the players from the Avalanche have to walk by the Red Wings team bus to get to their cars in the parking lot. He walks by, Bowman's trash-talking him, so Lemieux says he takes a step onto the bus.
It's, you know, it's a great story.
That first step, you duck, because Bowman's in the front row. Coach is right.
Yeah.
So, what else? And he's like, he's going to engage him, and he said, you know why I did it? Because I knew the tough guys sit in the back of the bus. The skill players and the coaches are up front. McCarty, Maltby, those guys, they're in the back of the bus. They're not going to rush me. I can get on the bus and say something to Bowman without worrying about my life being in danger because the threats are in the back of the bus. How do you not hate this guy? I cannot. Can you believe the human anatomy part it took to come back out on the for the handshake line? After you laid that guy out and they took him to the hospital?
Where is he on all-time sports heels?
You know what? Most people probably wouldn't. Non-hockey fans would have no idea what we're talking about.
He's top 10.
Man.
Who else is there?
Well, for different reasons.
Let's go hated by the...
You might hate Brady,
no,
but it's not because he's...
Let's go hated by his peers. Who else hated by his peers?
Oh, my God. Lemieux has to be... He might be number one. I mean, they call him the most hated man in hockey. Marchand? Who's the most hated guy by his peers today? So I don't think it's Tom Wilson. I feel like Marchand would win because Marchand seems like he's dirtier, cheaper, more annoying than Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, it's guys that get voted dirty. John Stockton and Karl Malone were voted dirty every single year, like two of the dirtiest players to ever play.
Yeah, that's a good question. Hated most by his peers.
Most hated by their peers.
Yeah, that's a great question. Because Lemieux is
high on the list.
Oh, what a piece of... All right, we're late. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me of the handshake line. Go ahead. Anyway, 803-0550 to join us this morning. Pick of the week from Jeremy is coming up next on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good song.
All right, pick of the week. It's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. And their pick of the week is a 2001 BMW Z3 Roadster 2.5i convertible. Be a nice week to drive that around. Summer's here. Come on down to Riverfront Auto Sales. Test drive the sporty Beamer today. One owner, clean Carfax, only 40,000 miles on it. Check it out on the Riverfront website. Don't forget to call Marty Sr. or Marty Jr. for all the details. 886-1626 for a silver BMW Z3 Roadster as their pick of the week. My pick of the week. We could go with the Unrivaled from ESPN Z60.
Yep.
But Silverstone's a good race, right? Mm-hmm. F1?
Yeah.
Like
I think
that
fairly
one.
Exciting, yeah.
Yeah. Like, for instance, will Ferrari completely blow it again? Each and every week, we wait to see if Ferrari can get the pole and then blow it anyway.
I think that's a good bet on you. I don't know if that's on FanDuel, but it probably would be something you could bet on.
Yeah. So there you go. This pick of the week. I'll go for Silverstone.
Okay. I know we got to get to break. I was just trying to check the.
What else would I give a high recommendation right about now?
NBA free agency.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
NBA free agency is that time of year where you're going to find out that someone that you are not sure if you've heard of or not just got signed for $280 million.
Yeah, will the Knicks sign Jalen Brunson to $110 million over 4 years? That's exciting.
It's a beautiful thing. 9:55 a.m. Sunday for the British Grand Prix on ESPN2.
9 a.m.?
9:55.
Oh, 9:55.
So plan accordingly. For Sunday. That's all right. It's done by noon. Right in time for nap time. A marvelous thing.
You're napping on Sundays too?
I nap every day.
Wow.
Yeah. I have to. I'm just a dead man without naps. It's just not a good thing. I'll hit 4 o'clock and I'll be dragging and couldn't keep my eyes open. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550.
There's also some LIV golf tour stuff this weekend if you want to make a point to watch that.
I'll pass. Thanks for the offer.
I will too. They've already said like they need television broadcast partners. And
where does it stream?
On their own website.
Oh, okay. So you can, it's a free service. You don't have to pay to see the LIV Tour. Yeah, I'll pass.
John Deere Classic?
That's this weekend. That's
right. What's going on?
Yeah. Wimbledon's going on this weekend. You know, you have that too. So there are some things happening. We'll get a quick break. Got more coming up moment. WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.